Okay, with Tu Bishvat in mind, which is tonight, tomorrow, continuing our discussion about eating, it's a pity that a certain gentleman, whose name I will not mention over the what's called, who challenged me last week about the Choviv, I would like him to be here because he was more right than I accepted. We said last week that the Psak of the Mechaber, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses it as well, is that Min Shivo comes first. So therefore, it's first over Sholem. That means even if you've got the Min Shivo, let's say the grape is only a half a grape, and the other pears that you got, which are Hoetz, are complete, nevertheless, the Shivas Haminim takes precedence, and you make the Brocha on the grape. And we said similarly, that if you don't like the grape, you're not really keen on grapes, yeah, but you're going to eat grapes as well as the other pears, because tonight you want to eat 15 fruits for whatever reason. So therefore, you're going to eat both of them, then you have to give precedence to the grape versus Choviv as well. So that's what we learned last
olives
week.
Olives count.
Pardon?
Olives count as one of the...
Olives doesn't only count as one of the Shivas Haminim, the olive is the first one. If you were to make it, if you had a choice of olives or grapes, let's say, on which one you make the brocha, then we said that the olive is the first in the list. It says Eretz Shemen Udvash.
Olive is not cholim, but it had a pip thing about.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's what we're saying. Even if you've opened the olive, and you've taken the pip out, and you've put in a little piece of tomato or whatever else, pepper they put inside, yeah? The olive, which is not sholem, because it is peiros Eretz Yisrael, comes before, la halacha, comes before the others. But there was somebody here last week who said, I am convinced, I've learnt, that choviv takes precedence over everything. Okay? Now there are times when, we spoke last week about an example of somebody who's going to be eating two peiros on tonight. He's going to be eating the grape. He's going to be eating a lychee, but he likes the lychee and he doesn't really like the grape. Yeah. So then we said, afal piken, he has to make the brocha ho'etz, he has to make on the peiros Eretz Yisrael. Now, there was somebody in the room who said, I am convinced, I've learned that choviv comes first. That you always eat, whether it's against Sholem, whether it's against Peres Eretz Yisrael, that it's always the Choviv which comes first. And he was convinced that was what he'd learnt. And therefore,
if you don't like it, why are you eating it?
Because tonight, well, let me give you an example, okay? Right? Rosh Hashanah by night.
Yeah.
You don't like apples.
Yeah.
Right? And you're all going to sing together, dip the apple in the honey, and it's on the table, right? Everybody's eating apples, yeah, whether you like it or not. Tonight, there are a lot of people who want to eat 15 pears.
And we need the
whether there's a makor for that or not, yeah? So you're going to eat the apple even if you don't like it. Yeah.
We need connections, so we need it.
Yeah, okay. So therefore, let's say on Rosh Hashanah by night, I would say probably the apple might be a choviv. Everybody wants to dip the apple in the honey and sing the song with the children. Yeah? So that might be the choviv. But, and that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that when you put the plate with the apple on the table, you shouldn't put out the other simonim, like the tamarim, like the dates, or any of the other simonim, because then you'll have a shiloh of Shiva Saminim versus the apple. So tonight the apple's the choviv, but you've got Shiva Saminim, and we pass an halacha, Shiva Saminim takes precedence over choviv. So therefore he says, make sure that when you put the apple and the honey on the plate, on the table, on Rosh Hashanah b'nacht, yeah, same thing will apply tonight. Right? If you've got a choviv on there, you've got the lychee that you like better. Yeah, but he said it's better if you wanted to make the broth on the lychee, then don't have any of the other pears in the room at the time. Right? Leave them in the kitchen. Right? Leave them in the cupboard and only bring in the other pears. Then you can make the broth on the Bayer-Pew-Aids. Yeah, and then it could putter whatever you intend to bring in. Again, you're bringing yourself into Shalas. Okay. We'll finish this discussion later tomorrow because the Rambam holds like the person who challenged me. That's a shitter of the Rambam, but the Mishnah Berurah says we're asking like the other poskim.
Thank you.
Torah Northwest London, Sunday, Yud Dalet Shvat, the 1st of February, Rabbi Naftali Dov Rosenberg Shlita. What?
Not Rashi,
okay. who, correction to the poster, he says he's a Maggid Shia, not yet Rosh Hashiva in Ger Beit Shemesh. And this week's Torah Way has been sponsored anonymously, and Le'ilui Nishmas, as always, our founder, Reb Yosef Dol, Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi, Zichroinu Levracha.
Something like that.
Shabbos afternoon, at the Pirchim, they brought a guest speaker who captivated all the children. But there was one boy there who was being a nuisance. The organizer walks in and he sees what's going on. He says, "You there? Come out right now. Get out." Somebody told him, "That's Boira." He's taking out the boy who's unwanted from the room.
It was sticking out.
Huh?
It was sticking out.
It was sticking out. So usually it's when the kids are squashed together. Is he right or wrong? That's a valid point. He's so to toch euchel. Halacha we paskin like the Taz, like most paskim, their boyers are by sforim. And by items, by clothes, even not gedule kak, it's machlek to shoinim, but that's mashuim shabura paskin to shachno harava. The sheath gonna be tight according to shachno harava mashabura, and the most paskim, I'm not gonna encompass all the paskim in the short time we have. Scenario number two, a boy sitting by Shabbos Sheva Brochus, and the waiter serving soup, and the waiter served a nice hot plate of soup or bowl of soup. And there was a kneidel there, and he didn't know that Moshe doesn't like kneidlich. And Moshe put on a tantrum, "I don't want to have the soup, it has a kneidel inside." And the parent wants to take out the kneidel, perhaps yes to eat it or not to eat it. Is there a question of Boira there? Because again, they're unwanted, the kneidel is not wanted by Moshe. Is it a problem or not? So let's, in short, recap the famous three rules of Boira, and let's see, are they as simple as we know? The famous three rules of Boira is that Boira means what was in the Mishkan was taking the unwanted from the wanted. When is Boira permitted? If a person takes the wanted, the desired, by hand for immediate use, which is known as Miyad, Beyad, and Oich Metoch Psoilis. The question is that all three rules are l'chayre not consistent. Let's go one by one. The first rule of oich metoch psoilis, that it's only permitted when you take the wanted, the desired, from the unwanted. Everyone knows that peeling an orange is permitted. Why is it permitted? You're taking off the peel, which is the unwanted, from the wanted. Number two, only for immediate use. Let's take a Shabbos Sheva Brachas. It can take, depends on how many baldashonim there are, it can take 4 to 5 hours.
You're not choosing with an orange.
You're not choosing.
It's not like you've got two things. To get to one, you have to get through the other.
And it's therefore, it's not to the Boira at all. You can do for achazman. And Simon Shnei Chav Alef, it says clearly that you can only peel for immediate use. So there is a melacha of Boira here. No, you're saying it's definitely true.
It just seems different.
It is different. We'll soon see why. So the second rule is, only for immediate use. You have a Sheva Brochus with many baldashonim and program, which takes 4 or 5 hours, and the caterer has prepared in advance an hour or two. Is it permitted or not? Third rule is only by hand, not using a keli. Going back some 800 years, the Rosh was asked the following question. The 4 days of Thames water, water often had inside worms and many other sort of creeping crawlies inside, coming out of the wells or wherever they came from in Europe. And it was very common for people to take a small shmata and put it on the cup and drink through the shmata. So the Rosh was asked at the time, is it mutter or is it Boira Bekli? Boira Bekli, you're using a shmata to clean and separate the worms and the bugs from the water. So here's the opening for the entire concept of Boira, which is brought down also in short in Shulchan Aruch. Simon
you can't
Shinu,
do it by hand.
You can't do it by hand, but no one can say
so that's not Kali. Kali is something in addition to the hand. If you can't do it any other way, the concept has to be looked at differently.
So let me ask you a question. A person has a whole soup just full of vegetables, and he can't make it clear without using a sieve. Can he strain the soup in order to take out all the vegetables, Shabbos? Certainly not. There's no other option. So what? You can't put on the light because it's dark because there's no other option. There's no general heter where you can't do otherwise. There isn't. What you're saying is absolutely legitimate. We'll soon see where it says.
It's logical. It's not halakhic.
And it does have a halakhic ground. We'll soon see. But something different. So again, the Rosh was asked that question. And the Rosh says, Boira means preparing the food ahead of the meal. Something which is done while eating, the way of eating, isn't called Boira. And therefore, because in those days, the way of drinking was drinking through a shmata, drinking through a cloth to be able to separate the worms, it's called Derech Achila, not Derech Boira. That's the opening to understand everything, which is when there are two options, taking out the desired from the undesired or the other way around, then what's considered the way of eating is, when the person eats, he chooses the food he likes, and he leaves behind the food he doesn't like. When he's preparing the food ahead of the meal, he might do differently. But when it comes to an orange, there's no other way of getting the flesh, the fruit, without peeling the fruit first. That's called derech achila. Now, derech achila is obviously for immediate use, not preparing ahead of time. But if you have a long meal, no one expects all the attendants to run out the middle of the fish, middle of the first rosh, and prepare the meal. So the way of preparing food for a meal is just before, even if the meal might take 6 or 7 hours, depends on how many Baal Roshonim there are, even for the dessert at the end of the meal. That's called Derech Achila. Okay. But today in the Shia, I wanted to mainly discuss two small points. What's considered a mixture? What's called mixed up? And that thing has two angles. How dense does it have to be? And what two things are considered a mixture of two different species? Going back some 700 years ago, the Truma Sadeshan was asked the following question. The famous Brodah on Shechon Aruch Siv Gimel. A person has big pieces of fish and small pieces of fish. Can he take the small ones from the big ones or the other way around? And the question is also two different types of fish. So his line of thought is, intrinsically there should be some sort of size which is already called not mixed up. But because it's the Raisa, he says even regarding big pieces of fish, big slices of fish, a person has to be machmer by the Raisa, that's considered mixed. But he says, this is very, very common, going back to the Sheva Brochas, Friday night, the caterer calculates that tomorrow is a big kiddush. So tonight, the people after long Friday are very hungry, they have to get the big slices. And tomorrow, after they had ready the big kiddush, they only need small slices because it's going to be thrown in the rubbish. He tells the waiters, please take out from the trays all the small pieces of both carp and salmon and put them away for tomorrow. That's psoilus, the unwanted for now, for tomorrow. Both the achazman and psoilus. Says the Truma Sadeshan, it's 100% permitted. And why? Only Taz argues, Mishabura and Mishuch Narav are both lenient. He says, because my separation, what am I separating? The small from the big. The small from the big is considered one type. I'm taking both carp and salmon, the small, from the big. The same type is not called Boira. A classic example, now we have to define what is called one type and what's not called one type. Let's go, it happens to be connected to Tu B'Shvat, a certain angle. The Prima Godema has that famous question, what's considered one type and two types? Blue and green, purple and green grapes are one type. When I was a child, in Frohwines, they sold usually whole chickens together. Then, they had the white chicken and the red chicken. Today, we're already more... But people buy the pulka separately, the white chicken separately. The white and the red are called two types. The pulka and the wing are called two types or not? Different sorts of apples. Granny Smith and Golden Delicious apples, two types or not? And Prima Godem again, because of the writer, is very, very machmen. He says anything you can say shechiyonu, because it's considered a different type, is called in, according to Boira also a different type. It's about tonight shechiyonu for Tu B'Shvat. Anything which has a different halacha legaba shechiyonu, we discuss is there about berries and about grapes. If it has a different color and it's eligible to be different different species legaba shechiyonu, and Tu legaba Boira, it's called two species. But in short, there are four rules what are considered two types. One is the name, the second one is the taste, the flavor, different appearance, and different use. Let's elaborate these four differences in short. Different name, the classic example is a tangerine and an orange. A big orange and a small orange, we just said from the Terumas Yad Vashem, it's called the same thing. A nectarine and an apricot have a different name. They have a different taste too. But the big example is by clothes. A person has a cardigan or a jumper. One with buttons and one without buttons. If it's got a different name, even though they serve the same purpose, they're both to insulate and make the person warmer, because it's called a jumper, and it has this is one's buttons, they are called two different species, according to Prima Godem, because they're different names. Different taste, the classic example which is brought down in Mishnah Berurah is cooked fish and roasted fish, cooked meat and roasted meat. Regarding chicken, is a pulka and a wing considered different? Of course, regarding caterers, we'll soon discuss that point. There are things that can be served and can't be served. But generally in a house, it's all about the size. It's how much meat is there. Is there enough portion? Is there enough meat for a portion or not? Does it have to have a whole triangle, or bigger or smaller? The amount of quantity doesn't make it a different sort. Whereas different taste is different. Going back 40 years ago, many great poskim held that white meat and red meat are called one type. Today, I think things have changed, that no one would say that white chicken, the part used for the schnitzel, and the pulka are considered one meat. And going 40 years ago, people weren't so fussy, and all it was about, white meat and red meat are still called one species. Mishnah Berurah in his times discussed about sour apples, and which means Granny Smith or something even sour than that, normal apples. And Mishnah Berurah's noter that if both are edible, it's called one species. Even though because they both are called generally apples, you could add the word golden Mishnah's apples and Granny Smith apples, but they're both called apples, they're basically called one mean. But again, these things can change over generations, depends on how particular people are.
Grapes?
So that Prima Godem discusses, and he says it because you can make a shechiyon of different types, it's got a different name. That's what he says there. But he says al sofik, not zvadai. It's only because of the rice, boira, he said it should be machmed. And the apple's the same thing. If it was shakiyanu, two different meaning, it would be a shayla.
So you're saying if you've been eating, let's say, white grapes, and now a new crop comes in of red grapes, then you would make a shakiyanu on the red ones?
In the shakiyanu, the pot can do say it's going to two species.
Really?
It's hope it's not agreed, but when God brings the rice from there, and he said, that's why in the Shabbos we machmel lechatchela. It's a boy everyone's scared about because it's all the raisa or mutter. It's not. It's a grey area. It's not clear.
Raisins and grapes.
Oh, it's grey.
Raisins and grapes.
Same thing.
Legaba shechiyonu is no question. There's no shechiyonu on raisins if you had grapes. But regarding Shabbos, it's definitely two species because they have different purposes and different tastes and different names. Now let's go further. What we just discussed now about big and small. Big and small is not a rule. We're talking about a big plate and a small plate, a dessert plate and a plate for the main course, even though one's big and one's small, no one can possibly say there's no burger there, because they have different purpose. They may be big and small, but a teaspoon and a soup spoon, unless a person wants to work on his tavas achila, to eat spoon with a tiny spoon, they have different purposes. It's very hard to eat soup with a small teaspoon. So therefore, even though it's big and small, they have different purposes. They can't be used. Therefore, there is boira between big spoons and two small spoons. Whereas, forks, for fish forks and meat forks, everyone knows when the caterer is stuck, you suddenly find two identical forks on the left side. Of course, depending on his class, he won't make a mistake. But intrinsically, they have the same purpose. Of course, people like to be correct and have the right, exactly the right way. But it's not that they have, in essence, they can be used both for different things. But perhaps the dessert fork, which can only be used for eating ice cream, they can't really make it into meat, maybe like a small plate and a big plate. So again, we went through the four different chilukim, which is name, taste we discussed about, roasted and not roasted, and cooked, and can even be seasoned extremely differently. This is called exotic, and this is called Caribbean, whatever, different names, and to the extent that people clearly say it's a different food, it also could be called buried there. Mishabur's example is fresh fish and dead fish. Poor people in those days, the fisherman would find a dead fish, we sold for cheap. And the people who were upper class couldn't take the fish. And he says, even though it's edible, that's called two different meaning. Words in the Gaya, different colors, could be a classic example, which is very, very motzui, very, very common. Friday night, two bochrim, or two children, on the same room, and Shabbos morning, if they're going to look for their clothes, they might wake up the other one, which won't be so advisable. If they want to take in advance, the socks out. Now the socks, if it's two different sizes, the 12-year-old and the 10-year-old, it's just like a dessert plate and a big plate, because a big boy can't wear the small socks. You know, it's big and small, he can't wear a small shirt either. That's clearly boira. If he takes it by night for the morning, if it's mixed together, it's boira lachazman, even though it's the wanted, the desired. Colored socks, if they have different purposes, Shabbos only wears black socks, in the middle of the week he wears white socks all the way around, then it's a different shimush. But if it's an older shirt and a newer shirt, which he likes usually to have the newer shirt for Shabbos, but it's not something which has to be just that way, it's preferable. But they both are appropriate. If the other person doesn't know which one's which, then it could be called the same mean, just a preference. So again, if it's clearly, it says only for weekday, he'll never wear it on Shabbos, and vice versa, it's called a different purpose, and therefore it's called boira. But if it's on the gray area, the halacha is different. Again, those are where long socks and short socks, it all depends on the ins and outs, basically the same rules. Now let's go to the first question we started off with about the organizer that took a child. So when I had told the child once to Bochrim, I came into a huge shia of 100 boys, were all very rowdy. So one boy said, he didn't take him out, the boy walked out himself. I said, then what happened if the boy didn't go out by himself and the organizer to take him by his collar and pull him out? Mm-hmm. What's the halacha then? Now, the Yerushalmi says, according to the way most poskim learn, that between people, it's never called mixed up. People are always discernible at first glance. So, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach takes his thought very extremely. He says, why is washing a plate not considered boira? The plate is covered with dirt, with filth. It's like peeling an apple. How can you wash a plate by night or by day? Says the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, no one views a plate when it's dirty and the plate is damaged. No one finds the plate is broken in any way, mixed up. It's called a dirty plate. The plate is a plate and it's dirty. Filth, cleaning of filth is not seen as something mixed. It's seen as something external. He says the rule is also regarding a person has a coat, and on the coat is a feather. Halacha says clearly you can take off a feather on Shabbos if it's not inside, it's not called libun. Why can you take it off? Why isn't it called boira? He says, what's considered by every person as taking off filth is not considered boira. The big machlokes in poskim, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Eliashiv, and Moshe Feinstein, Rav Chaim Noah Olmekel, which is washing off fruit, a little bit of dirt on the peel. Chaznish's Machmer, Bosner is noted in Chaznish, but most poskim say clearly, they're washing off a fruit of dirt by water, not soaking it in water. But washing it off by water is again called cleaning, and not called boira. But the essence is, people between people, taking out a boy out of a classroom, is not called mixed together. And Shlomo Zalman said the same thought, if the soup of the caterer is clear soup, and there's only one knedel there, and it's immediately apparent, taking it out is not considered taking something out of a mixture. You see a clear soup and a knedel inside. If there are many vegetables there and the soup isn't so clear, then it could be a shaila of boira. But if it's a normal clear soup and taking out is very obvious, like taking out eggs out of water, there's no shaila of boira.
Take out the knife, taking some soup with it inevitably. So
depends if you use a spoon or use a fork. If you use a fork, we go out in a spoon. And a fork's not considered the keli because of yoda richter.
If there's a piece of carrot on it, filter fish, and you don't like that carrot, can you just take it off? And
if it's a clearly carrot on top, what? One item from one item, it's one carrot on a filter fish, it's not called.
A carrot,
if it's on top of it and it's only one on one, it's not called burrow with the most basket.
It's not called burrow.
Because once, if it's clearly apparent on top, one small piece of carrot
what,
on top,
sorry?
One small piece of carrot on a fish
yeah.
is not called burr. Because one, two things together are not called burr. Only when the tariff is a few things together. One on one is not. If it be many pieces of carrots all over the fish, it would be different shayla. The shabbos is very negeah, maybe not yeah. by people who are here, but it's very negeah by shabbos sheva brachos or yeshivas. It's the end of the meal, which is a very, very common scenario. We want to put together the plastic tablecloth and throw it out in the rubbish. And there's a becher there, there's a knife there, and you want to take it out. That's a very, very serious problem, halacha. I can't give generalizations because every person's Shabbos table looks differently. Some people, after every course, clean it up.
So and it's the Shabbos?
After Shabbos table in yeshiva. And normally, yeshiva, there's challah, there's plastic plates all over, but they have some real metal knives on the tablecloth. Mm-hmm. And then after the meal, they want to put it together, throw it into the rubbish. They say, hey, no, there's a knife there, there's a fork there.
Because I want to keep that knife.
You want to keep it for the next meal, not for now.
Yeah.
So one option is, like you said, if you want to take the knife for now to peel a fruit, it's mutter. If you want to keep a knife for tomorrow, it should be thrown out. What do you do?
On the table, it was mutter, because you could see it.
On the table, it was mutter. Depends how, on a normal table, it's mutter.
Yeah.
In yeshiva, it's how difficult to say rules yeah. how the yeshiva table looks like. That's a very common shala. The eitz, the best eitz, which is not always possible with when there's rubbish on the table, is the eitz of the Gemara, as explained by Shem Zalman and Moshe Feinstein, which is the Gemara says Rabbevi had a whole Rabbevi, the Gemara that Amir Rabbevi came to a basket of fruit and it was psalis and oichel. Rabbevi chucked the whole content on the floor and it spread out. And once it was spread out, it was no longer considered a mixture, and you can take what you want. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos Taf Ayin Dalad Omid Aleph, as explained by Shem Zalman and Moshe Feinstein. That's a different mahalach in the Gemara, but that's accepted psak brought down in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. Now let's go on small thought, which is similar to the.
Is it not gathered?
Once it's spread out, it's not gathered together. It's just like spread out.
Isn't it separate maluch in any way?
Is it what?
It doesn't contradict another maluch.
Ma'amah is very, very appropriate. But ma'amah is only ma'amokim gidula, where it grew. After it's already been in a basket, there's no more any more ma'amah. Rashi in Parshas Devarim says that Hashem rebuked Klal Yisrael. Why is it that by the Meraglim they all came mixed together? Not halachically mixed of Boira. By Matan Torah, they all came organized. So there are people that explain that by Matan Torah they should have gone out of great excitement, come all together. But the Masa is, by Matan Torah there was a mitzvah of Hagbolah, which is every person in their own allotted place. The Kotzke Rebbe says that in the beginning of the Parsha, we see that Yisroel gave every person their job. He was the Sora Asoris, he was the Sora Meir, Sora Chamishim, he is a leader of tens, fifties, a hundred. Ask the Kotzke Rebbe. Each of these people were Anshei Chayil, Soini Betza, people of caliber. They had many credentials. They qualified. How could a person be told, you're only a Sari Asoris, you're not a Sari Chamishim? How could he possibly take it so easily, be so highly qualified, you're only third rate? Says the Kotzke Rebbe, there's one other characteristic they had, which is Anshei Emes. Which means they were true, honest people. People that are of truth and of caliber, in their truth, they understand and appreciate that every person has their job. The beginning of the parasha is a very interesting pasuk, which is all the Rishonim, many Rishonim discuss. It says in the pasuk, Moshe had two children. One child, the first child born to him was Gershom, Shemo Echod, Ershaim. The second one is Shem Hasheni. I'll say Shem Hasheni. Shem HaEchad Eliezer. Normally you would say the first and the second. The question is asked by the Malbim. It's asked by the Rishonim also, the Cheskuni and many others, and they answer, they answer. In Zecher Moshe in Yerushalayim, whoever went there, it's a very colourful corner in Yerushalayim. There are many interesting people there. Going back 40 years ago, there was one person called there called Benzion Kletzkin. This Benzion Kletzkin lived in Rehovstei Chemed, which is about 5 minutes from Zecher Moshe, and he had only 16 children. They said he once went on the bus with 8 of them. The bus driver was getting nervous, said, "Can you possibly leave half your children in the house?" So I did. Now, this Benzion Kletzkin was in Zecher Moshe. He always had some 6, 7, or 8 boys running around him. And in Zecher Moshe, unfortunately, there was some person there who was a war survivor. And he didn't have his own children, and he wanted very much to have children. He saw Benzion always running around, not managing, or yes managing, all the ones between his feet and behind him. And he told him, "Benzion, you have, how many do you have? 16? I want one. Maybe give me one." Benzion was also a character, and he had a good sense of humor. He said, "No problem, I'll give you one." He said, "When can I come to choose?" He said, "Look, lunchtime should be all at home. Come at 2 o'clock. "No problem." This person turns up at a Kletzkin abode in Rehovstei Chemed. The abode wasn't that big, only about 2 rooms. How all 16 children fit in there is a good question. He knocks at the door. Benzion opens the door with a big smile. He says, "Okay, come inside. Alle kundelich, come, line up." One from on the table, one from above the table, other room, suddenly all alle nebenwand, everyone stand next to the wall. So all 16 children, according to height, all lined up against the wall, 16 children. He says, "Okay, choose." Starts examining the youngest to the oldest. "I want that one." "So who do you want?" "I want Baruch." He said, "I would give you gladly Baruch, but I only have one Baruch, I don't have two. Choose the second one." Looks down again, again. "I want maybe Meir." He said, "I only have one Meir. I'll gladly give you two. But I have two, I'll give you one, but I only have one." Try his last luck, last chance. "Tom, I'll gladly give you, but I only have one Zorach." The message is, the pasuk, "B'shem ha'echad Eliezer." Moshe had 2 children, but each one was the only one. Everyone has their own designated job. There's no tarevah, there's no boira, because each one has his own unique job. In the Torah, Chazal say, Yisrael or Roshatevis, yesh shishim ribos oisis la Torah. Every yid is a letter, which we can't be mevat on any single letter. Missing one letter, the entire Sefer Torah is possible. Everyone has his unique job. He may be Sora Soros, maybe Sora Chamish. But no one can say that somebody else will do my job, because that letter will be missing. Yeah.